when the this is side two, when the tape ended, we were talking about the Ag Experiment Station, and you're becoming director. And
yes.
when were you, when was it effective?
August 1st, 1964, as I recall. I think that's right. Mm-hmm. And well, anyway, at this point, I had all these students, postdoctorals, and I had to move my whole office and headquarters over to Ag Hall and occupied the office that Lloyd Turk had occupied, which was in itself a little odd because Lloyd was promoted down as associate director, and he had Lucille Adams there, been his secretary now for years, and now I was the head honcho, mm-hmm. which placed me in a little bit of a, but Cowden came in, I want people to know that you're the director. Mm-hmm. In other words, I had full support. I asked Tom, I said, Would you support me? Do I have your support if I'm in this experiment station? I asked Hannah that also. And Hannah says, I know you can do the job. And I said, well, what's the job? I asked Hannah, what's my job? He says, sell agriculture and eliminate all the non-essential projects you have in an experiment station. All non-essential research projects. Mm-hmm. Well, of course, I tried to do that for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And after that, I was in a little awkward position. I was placed in an awkward position by the dean, and he knew it, and I knew it. But we worked it out. Mm-hmm. And had a very pleasant association there with, of course, Tom Cowden is deceased now. And he took a job about 6 years later, went to the Assistant Secretary of Agriculture with Cliff Hardin in Washington. And we had a new dean, Larry Boger. I think Boger's still living, isn't he?
Yes, he's in Oklahoma.
Yes.
And I have to schedule an interview with him.
I would think so. Mm-hmm. And so Boger was a fine dean also. Mm-hmm. We differed I differed with all the deans in some ways. Mm-hmm. But I told Cowden, I said, if I'm the director of the experiment station, I'm going to run the experiment station and you won't. Mm-hmm. He had been doing that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Had to. And of course, that was pretty much the pattern that we followed for the time that I was in the experiment station.
What had been the emphasis prior to you taking over, in let's say maybe the 10 years before? Had there been any in terms of research or?
Well, there'd been very little in the way of federal grants,
okay.
as I recall, and I was very critical of the agriculture station.
Mm-hmm.
In their publications, one of the things I did very shortly after I became a director is I eliminated the one of the publications that was out regularly. I can't remember what the name of it is.
Mm-hmm. That it had been published for?
Been published for years.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember what it is.
We can check that.
That was one of the first things. Yeah, get the public relations people in there, mm-hmm. that could advertise and sell the programs. I spent a great deal of time myself out giving talks and meeting the people, going out and seeing what the research people are doing in research projects on campus and off in the outlying field stations. In other words, a director for research ought to be where the research is. And we didn't have that. Mm-hmm. And I initiated a competitive grant program in the experiment station within the university itself. Our budget was low. We went to the state legislature, spent a lot of time in budget hearings, and directly with the legislature and with the governor's office. Our research budget was low. We had about a $5 million budget when I went in there. Mm-hmm. I think I left, we had $30 million. Mm-hmm. In other words, we worked with line items, specifically research projects that should be done in Michigan. with state funds.
Did you find Governor Romney was receptive to that?
Yes, he was the governor at that time, mm-hmm. and incidentally, he's gone now too.
Mm-hmm. His son was just recently elected as board of trustee member.
Must have been Mitt.
Scott Romney.
Well, Mitt, of course, is running the Olympics for nine. Mm-hmm. It's all in the Olympics.
Right. So. And Scott was just elected for.
That's good.
Board of trustees.
I didn't realize mm-hmm. that. Well, Romney was the governor then. He was receptive. Not unduly so, but I knew Romney.
Mm-hmm.
I had personal acquaintance with Romney. I was involved in the church with Romney. And so we knew each other.
Mm-hmm.
But we dealt primarily with the legislature,
mm-hmm.
The finance committees.
Nick Jacobetti was probably the...
Jacobetti was one.
Mm-hmm.
Garlane from Flint mm-hmm. was chairman of the Appropriation Committee in the Senate, and did a lot of work with Garlane, letting him know what's going on, why we needed it.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, this was important for Michigan. The research we were doing,
mm-hmm.
and we spent a lot of time educating the legislature. And at this time, also a very important component. At the time I went as director of the Experiment Station, Pat Ralston was director of Extension, and Pat Ralston was not too effective in going about funding. Pat's still alive?
I don't know.
Well, anyway, he was my cohort. We had three budgets, of course. We had the university budget, we had the experiment station budget, and we had the extension budget. Three separate budgets within the university. And but Pat was replaced by George McIntyre. Is George McIntyre still living?
I don't know either. I don't know.
Probably not. But George McIntyre. He was former director of agriculture in the Department of Agriculture, Michigan Department of Agriculture director in the State Department.
Mm-hmm.
George McIntyre came in. We got along wonderfully well. At this time, I also introduced visual aids. I used visual aids in giving talks mm-hmm. out in the state, slide projectors, showing visually, I received a lot of demand for this. In fact, it took a lot of my time
uh-huh.
going out to the counties and going out to other states and giving visual aid presentations. And of course, this was going back to Hannah's thought: sell agricultural research. Well, a lot of people sell agricultural research too. Got to sell it to the people. Got to sell it to the legislature. Sell it to the governor's office. Sell it at the national level. And so I spent a lot of time doing this, and I used new technologies to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Used the dissolve unit, but the first time they ever experienced a dissolve unit.
With the slide?
Yes.
With a dual?
And then, of course, the problem was getting help. We had a station photographer by the name of Phil Coleman.
Mm-hmm.
And Phil Coleman was not doing very much. And I put Phil Coleman full time, making slides and as my assistant slide projectionist.
Mm-hmm.
And then we used these dissolve units. And of course, this was all very exciting to the people. They'd mm-hmm. never seen this before.
Mm-hmm.
And George McIntyre tried to do the same thing, but was not very effective. George tried to imitate me. But we'd go out in the state, hold these county meetings, district meetings. I was out speaking for extension as much as it was research.
Mm-hmm.
I said, George, you ought to put me on halftime on extension. I'm selling your program.
Or add it to your job description.
That's my job description. Well, anyway, George McIntyre was a good. Then, of course, George was retired. Then it replaced by Gordon Guyer.
Mm-hmm.
And Gordon Guyer and I worked beautifully together. We understood each other. We jointly went to budget hearings together. We met the legislature. We'd meet with the legislature separately. Gordon Guyer, of course, great public relations man. And But only I had the technique of speaking and using visuals.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I told Gordon, I'm out of half time on extension. I ought to be in your office. But And I presume you have talked to Gordon Gardner.
I have, yep. As interim, and he talked about his research and
yes.
in entomology. And,
but we went to many meetings,
mm-hmm.
and Gordon was a great promoter and a great promoter of me, mm-hmm. as well as the programs, and still is for that matter. Gordon is still a very close friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And so, where were we?
We were talking about the changes that you brought in the Ag Experiment Station as director and the new directions that you...
Oh, the other thing was that we had an association of our central directors. They met every three or four times a year, just going over the same old stuff all the time. I said, look, why don't we do something different in these meetings? Have each state report on what they're doing that's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got along that way for 2 or 3 years, then they fell back to their old tracks. Finally, when I sent my associate director to the attendees meeting, I couldn't have a waste of time with them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just the same old stuff. All these planning meetings, they're planning are doing no good.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't reaching the right people. Mm-hmm. One thing I found as director of the experiment station, I got involved at the national level with the National Science Foundation, with the Department of Agriculture, with the Department of Energy, with the USAID, with the World Bank, with the International Agricultural Research Centers. I made contact with all of those, and with NASA, with EPA, and with the Secretary of Agriculture and the Assistant Secretaries. Made those contacts, and got involved at the national level, got involved with the National Research Council, National Academy of Sciences, became chairman of the Board on Agriculture and within the National Research Council, and which had much of its responsibility in terms of national priorities with National Science Foundation and other national groups, and got involved with international agricultural research conferences, three of them, namely the one that, and this was the Agricultural Experiment Station in cooperation with George F. Kettering Foundation, with the Department of Energy, with the Department of Agriculture, and with the National Science Foundation. And with that group, and then the U.S. Agency for International Development, with that group, we sponsored an international conference on crop productivity in 1975 and again in 1985. Crop productivity research imperatives. And that was when in 1975 and then 85 is crop research research priorities in crop productivity in 1985, research imperative revisited. Well, let's see, I have one of them here. Getting sidetracked.
I've got you hooked up. That's okay. I mean, I'll just pause here. For the tape, would you tell us again the title?
The Crop Productivity Research Imperatives. That was the title in 1975, which I no longer have a copy of the proceedings.
Mm-hmm.
This is Crop Productivity Research Imperatives Revisited 1985.
Mm-hmm.
And in this, I gave the short introduction, wrote the introduction for this one, and
mm-hmm.
of course I was one of the co-authors for the earlier one, mm-hmm. and really I was the organizer for this. And this,
where were those held?
They were held at Boyne Highlands in Michigan,
mm-hmm.
both of them.
And you had attendees from around the world?
And all around the world. They list us in the back,
uh-huh.
which we had a budget for it. We had a budget also to publish 10,000 copies of this,
mm-hmm.
all a part of the budget, sponsored by national agencies, the Agency for International Development, the National Science Foundation, the Department of Energy, the Department of Agriculture, the Michigan Agricultural Experiment Station, the Charles F. Kettering Foundation, and all these sponsors here from the private sector.
Mm-hmm. The complete list is in the back of the book.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was Peter McPherson head of AID at that time or not?
He was not.
He was not, okay.
I can't remember who it was. Well, now, you'd have to check.
Okay.
He could have been.
All right. I know he was right in the 84, 85 time frame, but it's very likely.
We're talking about, okay, he probably was. Mm-hmm. You check that out,
okay,
and that would be a good point.
He perhaps didn't attend this, but...
He certainly knew about it.
Uh-huh.
But that was... in other words, I was looking at... I said, look, there's many ways, many... There's... what is my... There's many ways of determining research priorities. One is the international conference concept.
Mm-hmm.
The other is to write up projects and proposals. But we use the international conference option as a very good one.
Did you have reception on campus to the ideas of the international aspect of the research?
Yes.
Was that?
Well, of course, at that time, Ralph Smuckler was Director of International Programs.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, he was preceded by Glenn Taggart. And we also had the support of the university.
And Glenn went to Utah State, I believe, didn't he?
Yes.
And
yes, he was there as Director of International Programs for probably 10, 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was very definitely a very important input there. I was involved in the first, I was a member of the first delegation went to China.
Mm-hmm.
I got involved in many international activities.
Mm-hmm. How did you get asked to go to that originally?
To Michigan State
University? No, not to Michigan State, but to China.
That was a reason. How did I become a member of the first delegation?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a recommendation of probably the president. Mackey was the president then.
Uh-huh, okay.
And I think it was perhaps the... See, Dean Anderson followed Boger.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Dean Anderson was there when Gordon Geyer was there, and I was there. We were a great team.
And that was Jim Anderson?
James Anderson. Have you talked to him?
I haven't yet, but he's in North Carolina.
He's still living?
Yes.
Because my last correspondence with him was when his wife passed away.
Okay.
About 2 years ago.
I see. I haven't contacted him by phone, but I do believe he's still living.
Yeah.
So Gordon Geyer was on that same mission, wasn't he?
No.
No, okay, that was a different one
no.
that he went to. Okay.
He was went on a special mission before that.
Okay.
One of the very first to get into China.
Mm-hmm.
See, I was invited in 1980 in that first delegation, and on that occasion, the Chinese took special attitude toward me,
mm-hmm.
and they pulled me aside in the Ministry of Agriculture and said, "Actually, what I did on that I took slides with me
mm-hmm.
About agricultural research, and I had in the China trip in 1980." There were students of mine that met me, students that had graduated in 1949, 50.
Oh, really? Even?
Doctoral students. A Dr. Hushin Lee and a Dr. Someone from Shandu in Sichuan University. What was his name? I could pull that out if I have an opportunity to review this.
Mm-hmm. And we can add that.
Yeah. When I was at Sichuan University, and at that time, Michigan State University, through Dr. Smuckler,
mm-hmm.
who was the dean of the international programs there, the university wanted to establish a special relationship with Sichuan University in the Sichuan province at Shandu. And I was there at Shandu, and this student knew of me. He said, "Would you give a seminar to my biology class?" He was head of the biological department.
Mm-hmm.
What was his name? I had some slides. I took some slides with me.
Mm-hmm.
slides. Go over.
You've seen the photographs fit in with. The
oh yes, mm-hmm. And I gave a seminar. He said, "Why don't you give a seminar to my class?" And so I did, and kind of the word got out Chinese have ways of communicating, I don't know. Well, this guy can gives an interesting lecture, you know. When before we left, see, we traveled a great deal of China on that trip, up in Harbin, which was the capital of the Heilongjiang province, which was the headquarters of the Northeast Agricultural University and the Heilongjiang Academy of Agricultural Sciences. When we got there, there was Dean Cowden, or Dean Anderson, and who was the chairman? Oh, golly. Can't remember his name. Someone from the Department of Agriculture Economics. Mm-hmm. And they want to know something about the land university. And a big crowd gathered, both from the university and from the Heilongjiang Academy of Agricultural Sciences. That's the northeastern province of China. Mm-hmm. And it has a climate comparable to Michigan. That's why we thought to have a special relationship with that group, you know. And so they got together a big crowd of scientists and agricultural people. And they first had Dean Anderson speak a little bit about the land grant system. Well, he took about 10 minutes, and the rest of the time was left up to me. And I had the slides ready, and I spent a lot of time talking about agricultural research and research priorities, which is the main subject I talk about all the time in Michigan, mm-hmm. or in the various other places in the world.
Were you using examples from Michigan Experiment Station,
oh, yes.
or was it all around, or
well,
just
no,
using?
Well, mostly Michigan.
Michigan, okay.
Mostly Michigan.
As a case study, more or less.
Well, they're selling Michigan's agriculture. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And but anyway, they, after that, got very excited after I gave that seminar talk, and the Ministry of Agriculture people, Mr. Chining Kong and Hu Kong, who was the Minister of Agriculture, pulled me aside. They said, "We want to make you the most knowledgeable American of Chinese agriculture that there is. And we want you to come back to China next year and bring your wife with you. Mm-hmm. And if you will give lectures for the first 2 weeks, when they come back for a month, then we'll take you any place you want to go in China for the remainder 2 weeks." And so the next year we went back. And then after that, and the next year which followed, they did take us. We went in the far, I've been in every province in China. I know China. Mm-hmm. And probably better than any other American in terms of its agriculture. Mm-hmm. And that's why I wrote the book. We had a marvelous time. It was hot. We went in the three ovens of China at that time, the hottest places on earth. Wuhan, Chongqing, and Nanjing. But they kept their word. We took a cruise down the Yangtze River, saw the three gorges, mm-hmm. and gave us the best of accommodations, which weren't very good, but they gave us the best. Mm-hmm. In other words, at the Grand Hotel in Chongqing, we had the only air-conditioned room in the hotel, and they turned the air conditioning off at 11 o'clock. It was hot. But then they invited us back, and then about 1983, they decided, well, we ought to write a book. They'd help me write it. Mm-hmm. And so then we began to formulate, well, who would be the authors? And, it ended up, of course, the three authors were Wang Yangzheng, who was the outstanding soybean breeder in China and president of the Chinese Academy of Agricultural Sciences. And then the other was Yu-Yu Tai, who was the president of Northeast University, Northeast Agricultural University in Harbin, and was an agricultural engineer. And the other author was Sun Han, who was an agricultural economist at Nanjing, at University of Jiangsu, you know, the Jiangsu Academy of Agricultural Sciences. We had our struggles, mm-hmm. but we came up with a book that is now a collector's item.
Mm-hmm. And MSU Press published that?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Which was unfortunate because MSU Press had no marketing capability.
Uh-huh. Right. And what was the, the title was, for the record?
Feeding a Billion.
Feeding a Billion. What was the thesis?
At that time, there was a billion people in China. Now there's a billion and a quarter.
Mm-hmm. In just that 15 years?
What was the thesis?
What was the thesis of the...
The unique things about Chinese agriculture where it enables them, with 7% of the arable land of the world, to produce enough food for 22% of the people. Mm-hmm. And I go into a item after item, crop after crop, mm-hmm. practice after practice.
Mm-hmm. What are some of those essentials that you discovered?
Well, there have been several reviews written of the book. One was in Time magazine for a full page. Mm-hmm. Another was written by several reviews. But what were some of the points? Mm-hmm. Well, the use of resource utilization. No resources are wasted. Mm-hmm. All human waste, all agriculture, all animal waste, all resources are utilized. Also, that 50% of the land they have is irrigated, which increases 12% of the land that's irrigated in the world produces over a third of the food. Mm-hmm. They have more irrigated land than any nation on earth. Also, they have a very good genetic improvement of crops. They have produced hybrid rice. Hybrid rice is number one food crop of the world, number one food crop in China. And it's the most important crop in China. And hybrid rice results in a 30 to 40% increase in yield. And they do it by very unique and fascinating techniques. Mm-hmm. The other, of course, is in the production of pigs. They produce more pigs than any country on earth, more chickens. But they utilize waste materials that we don't usually utilize. And fish, all kinds of fish culture.
Aquaculture,
highly developed, mm-hmm. and lots of it. Soybeans, they have the genetic resources of the world. They have all the genetic resources of the soybean.
When you got there, you probably went with some conception of Chinese agriculture. What things surprised you?
Well, the high intensity labor intensive high production agriculture, mm-hmm. labor intensive high production. Instead of growing beans on bush beans, they train them up. Mm-hmm. Utilize more energy from the sun, mm-hmm. and just little things. It's not a one thing. It's many things. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I go crop by crop. I go practice by practice. I point these out mm-hmm. in the book. And it's the only book in the English language now published which describes Chinese agriculture.
That's interesting.
And the interesting thing is it's a joint product of mine and theirs. Mm-hmm. Now, I had to rewrite the whole book. I had to rewrite the chapters they wrote, mm-hmm. which means I had to learn to become familiar with all of it. Mm-hmm. And, of course, one of the reviewers pointed that out. He said, this is by different authors, but there's a common style in that extends out in the book. That's my style. Mm-hmm. He was very sharp to notice that.
Uh-huh. It's true. The cooperative nature of the writing of the book. Is that,
well, the question came up, but what about the controversial issues? Mm-hmm. What am I going to do with Taiwan? Mm-hmm. What about the South Sea Islands mm-hmm. that are claimed by, and I had to be very careful at. But they finally said, well, in the case of conflict, you make the final decision. They told me, in the case of differences, you make the final decision. Mm-hmm. They were very cooperative.
Mm-hmm. I was reading a clipping, a newspaper clipping that was in the MSU archives, and it talked about when you went back again, there were some problems with because of the political unrest.
Well, I was there. You see, I was invited back repeatedly. Mm-hmm. To go to give talks and to visit other provinces and areas and take photographs, unlimited use of photography. Uh-huh. I'm not interested in photography at all, uh-huh. take anything. And I went back, and it was in 1989, I believe, in June, if my recollection is correct, we were invited back. And this was during the, these are some of the, she's got the, mm-hmm. this, but I was invited back and Maureen was with me. I in my later years at Michigan State, I said, if any place I'm going international, my wife goes with me. If my wife doesn't go, I don't go.
Mm-hmm. And it's good strategy.
I mean, I had more than I could handle, so why not? Mm-hmm. And but anyway, we were there, and We were going, it was a time of the release of Feeding a Billion.
Mm-hmm.
It was published and released in 1997, but then they decided they wanted a Chinese edition of it.
Uh-huh. Was it 87?
87 was when it was released. Okay. I think that's right. Let me look.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Michigan State University Press. Chafin was the director at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I had problems with Chafin. Big problems.
Mm-hmm. In the publishing of the
yes,
book.
Yes, he didn't put the map in here.
Uh-huh.
That gave all the details of the cities and the provinces and so on. And forget about that. We were back to, they decided they wanted to have, and I don't have a copy of the
I'll hit pause.